Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at First Baptist Church in Beverly on this, the fifth Sunday in our Lenten journey, as together we've been exploring our theme of windows that help us to see out into God's world, mirrors that invite us to reflect inward and consider the ways we prepare our hearts to expand bigger. And now today we step through into doors, the final part of our series, and you will see that we have indeed added a door, and you can indeed step through this door. It is a working door. In fact, it's part of the prayer station here at the front, and so we hope, we invite you to use any of the prayer stations here in the sanctuary, this at the front or several at the back. You can use them before or after worship on a Sunday. Anytime during the service, if you feel led, if the Spirit moves you, please feel free to get up and move around and interact with those prayer stations. Or anytime during the week when the office is open, you can come and feel free to come into the sanctuary and interact with the prayer stations that are here in this space. But this one, I believe you'll see a little more in action perhaps later in the service, but you are invited to come and step through this door at any point. And it is with special thanks to Adam Costa and the BHS Drama Department that we have this door. So thank you, Adam. It's been transformed lovingly by Daniel from a door that was last in a production of Frankenstein. Is that right? So it itself has had quite a Frankenstein transformation. So I want to welcome back Manny Faria, who's here with us this morning. As you may remember, Manny is our part-time pastoral visitation associate. He's been on staff with us during this time that Daniel has been enrolled in clinical pastoral education in his ordination process. And it's always a joy when we get to have Manny back joining us for worship and in the pulpit. And Manny will be preaching today. And so thank you, Manny. It's a joy to have you here with us this morning. But let us pause now and take a moment as together we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. As we enter into this next phase of our Lenten worship series, as we consider now the way that doors invite us forward and outward, we can consider the number of ways that doors have long captured the imagination of people, have captured people's hearts and wonderings, and have caused people to put those wonderings into words. Helen Keller, for example, said, "It is not for us to pray for tasks equal to our powers, but instead for powers equal to our tasks, to go forward with great desire, forever beating at the door of our hearts as we travel toward our goal." Or Alexander Graham Bell, who said, "When one door closes, another surely opens somewhere. But we as humans so often look so long and so regretfully upon that closed door that we forget to look for the one that has opened for us." Or John Barrymore, who said, "Happiness often sneaks in through a door you didn't know you had left open." So come into this time of worship. Come as we continue to move through our Lenten journey together. Come with prayers and hopes that we might go forward, stepping through the doors of our heart's desires and of God's calling. Come with eyes open and hearts open to notice the doors opening to us all around. Come making space for God's blessings and joy. Come lifting our voices together in song as we sing hymn number 6, sing praise to God who reigns above, and come and let us worship. We come now to the time in our service for a prayer of invocation, calling upon God to be present with us in this time of worship. The invocation will then be followed by the Lord's Prayer, and I invite you when we come to that prayer to join me in speaking it aloud. The words to the Lord's Prayer are printed in your order of worship, if that is helpful, and you are invited to pray that prayer using whatever words are most familiar to you. Let us pray. Loving God, God to whom we sing and proclaim and lift and pray our praise, draw near to us now in this, our time of worship, and continue to be near us as we know you have in this, our Lenten journey, this season, this time of preparation, when we who with joyful and eager hearts anticipate the coming good news and celebration of Easter, take time along the way to prepare, to ponder, to consider, to reflect, to take on new practices of reflection or prayer or kindness, or acts of service. God, you have been with us as we have considered through the windows of our hearts and of our lives your good creation. You have been with us as we have been invited to reflect inward, considering what our place in your good world is and the call that you extend to us. Continue to be with us, O God, as now we prepare to turn our gaze outward once more, to consider the call to which you invite us, a call to walk the path shown to us by your Son, Jesus, the one whose story we lift up and hold close, the one who came into the world to teach us about life and love and about you, and the one who taught us to pray using the words that we pray together this day and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 32 through 44. And I will be reading this from the Inclusive Bible, the first egalitarian translation. Hear these words of Scripture. When Mary got to Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, If you had been here, Lazarus would not have died. He never would have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the other mourners as well, he was troubled in spirit, moved by the deepest emotions. Where have you laid him? Jesus asked. Come and see, they said. And Jesus wept. The people in the crowd began to remark, See how much he loved him. Others said, He made the blind person see. Why couldn't he have done something to prevent Lazarus's death? Jesus was again deeply moved. They approached the tomb, which was a cave with a stone in front of it. Take away the stone, Jesus directed. Martha said, Rabbi, It has been 4 days now. By this time, there will be a stench. Jesus replied, "Didn't I assure you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took the stone away. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, "Abba, thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd, that they might believe that you sent me." Then Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out of the tomb, still bound hand and foot with linen strips, his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus told the crowd, "Untie him and let him go free." May God bless the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of these holy words. Amen. As we come again to our time of morning prayer, I will remind you that we will continue in the same habit that we have established here through this Lenten season. I hope that you've been able to pick up a new devotional card that is sort of tied to the theme that we are currently in and focusing on doors that we walk through and out into the world. And if you have one on you, I'll encourage you to take a look at it at some point during the prayer and to meditate on it silently. If you don't have one with you, you can think about what it is that you have that you can carry to the world this week. Let us pray together. There is so much in your world in which we can take delight, good God. Seagulls hovering still in the air as they lean into the wind. The smells of flowers budding, the sounds of a softball bat on a ball, and the cheers that follow it, the feel of a warm breeze in our faces, the sweet explosions in our mouths when we chomp down on grapes. Thank you for giving us such a marvelous world, full of wonders and delights. Thank you for sharing that you too take delight in that world, that you love it, that you recognize those wonders, and you marvel at them yourself. Thank you as well for the example that you have given us of stepping into the world and meeting its needs. Thank you for calling us to do much the same ourselves. So in this moment of silence, we ponder the unique ways in which we might do that this week upcoming. Even as we think of the things that we can do, we recognize our limits, Holy God. We recognize our need for you to step in and address those things that are too far beyond us. So we bring our petitions to you with confidence this morning, knowing that you, a God who loves the creation, hears and cares about those needs. We pray for all of those in our immediate and extended family who are ailing in mind, body, and spirit. We pray that you would give them strength and patience to endure through hard days, an easing of their pain and disquiet. We ask that you would bring them caregivers who can help to relieve some of the burden and even provide healing. We pray for those in our community who've continued to feel the grief of recent loss or even of ongoing loss, loss after loss. Grant them the needed spaces in their lives to engage the work of mourning. Grant them comfort when the loss seems too much to bear. And give them those occasions of fond remembrance that remind them of the joy that remains in their relationships that continue, even with those who have departed. We pray for those the world over who are suffering the effects of war and organized violence, from Ukraine to Myanmar to Gaza and beyond. Protect those who are hunkered down in chaotic conditions with no ways out, as well as those who have been displaced and are searching for a place that will allow them to make a home. Be with all of those who are in positions to end such violence. And we ask that you would move them to bring the peace that you long for in this world. We pray as well for justice, for racial justice, for gender justice, for economic justice. We pray for those who have been forcibly silenced when calling attention to our shameful legacies of systemic racism and misogyny. We ask again that you would heal our fractured land. Open our eyes to the injustices around us and help us, help all of us, to undo them with the gifts that you give us to take to the world. We bring to you all these prayers, good God, for things both near and far. And we are confident that you hear and will respond. And we thank you for it. We pray these things as followers of Jesus. Amen.
I have been a co-leader of pilgrimages to the Holy Land for the Episcopal Diocese of Massachusetts for the past 10 years. On my trips to Israel and Palestine, we have been based in two locations generally, in Jerusalem and in Nazareth. We stay at the guest house of the Anglican Cathedral of St. George in East Jerusalem, which is a two-block walk from the Damascus Gate. In Nazareth, we stay with the Sisters of Nazareth, an order of French Catholic nuns who have a facility across from the Basilica of the Virgin Mary. Very interesting thing, this building looks like it's been there forever. But if you go down underneath, below the basement, down deeper and deeper, where archaeologists have dug, they've made some interesting, remarkable first century discoveries. There's a private residence down there from the first century, of the kind that Joseph and Mary may well have lived in. It's not a house as we know it. It's more like a cave. It's built into the side of the hill, and there's two or three rooms to this place. Now, down another flight of stairs that the archaeologists have put in, we have found another remarkable item from about the same time. It is a tomb complete with a big cylinder rolling stone to open and close it. And when you see that, suddenly all those stories about tombs and stones being rolled away make perfect sense. This is the way they did it. There's an example of it. I looked through quite a few pictures from four trips there, hoping I could find one that I had taken of it, but I couldn't. I wanted to have something here to show you, but instead you'll just have to picture it in your mind's eye, the tomb, which is actually a cave, and the big round stone, which slides on a track to open and shut it. Hold that thought, because I'm going to return to it. As we continue our Lenten journey into the latter part of the season, it is the fifth week after all, and we begin to prepare for Holy Week and for Easter, We come to the third and final phase of our theme this year. And in case you hadn't caught on yet, it's doors. Doors such as our children walked through a little while ago. A door which is a remarkable shade of Lenten purple. I really like that. And it actually works. I checked it out before the service, and I went in it, and I came out again, and it works. It's a door. We have looked in and out of opened windows, how we can look through them, how we can see beyond our immediate surroundings, how we can get a view of what's beyond where we are. We've beheld ourselves in mirrors. We've looked beyond the superficial of just what we see immediately when we look in a mirror. We've looked at what lies beneath. And now we consider doors. Doors which are indeed gateways to the outer world. The outer world that we glimpse out our windows. Through the door we can proceed a little more gracefully than climbing through a window. Doors serve many purposes. They can be shut to keep out the cold and the rain and the snow. They can be locked to keep things secure or to ensure privacy. They can be opened to let in fresh air and light and to welcome visitors. And they can be opened simply to let us out. Let us out of what is enclosing us. For our purposes as followers of Jesus, let's think about the latter. Opening a door to let us out of what is enclosing us or what is hemming us in. This is a motif that figures prominently in Hebrew scriptures and in the New Testament. And there are no more significant doors than the rolling stones that sealed the tombs in ancient Middle East. They figure prominently, as we know, in all the Passion narratives. And John gives us a foreshadowing of the Passion narrative in what we heard today about Lazarus being raised from the dead. In John's Gospel, Martha and Mary and Lazarus figure prominently as close friends of Jesus. He stays with them in the suburbs whenever he goes to Jerusalem. So when Lazarus gets sick, his sisters send for Jesus, the smart thing to do. And as so often happens in the Gospel according to John, the whole event is something Jesus is privy to deep inside. He knows what's going on from the beginning. And he lingers instead of going right to Bethany, right to their house, right to the sick Lazarus. He stays where he is, and he only shows up after Lazarus has died and been buried and has been in the tomb for 4 days. There's a significance to that, too. After 3 days, it was thought that the spirit, the soul, that animated a living being, would depart the body after 3 days. So after 4 days, that's it, you're dead. This is what John wants us to know. So, he finally shows up and the sisters are grieving. And they each say, Lazarus would not have died if you had been here. And Jesus, well, he knows that. But what he wants to know also is, do they believe in him? Do they believe in Jesus? Do they believe he is who he says he is and that he does what he says he does? And they say, yes, yes, we do. So he goes down to the tomb and he tells the assembled crowd, open it, open that door, roll back that stone. And he yells, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus does. He comes out of the tomb. He comes through the door back into the world of the living. Unbind him and let him go, Jesus says, and they do. I can think of no more significant door to walk through than the one that Lazarus does, and a little later, Jesus himself will walk through, one that leads not into, but out of the tomb and into life. Of course, there are different circumstances for both. It's important to remember to us that Lazarus is being called out by Jesus and restored to life among the living as we know it, whereas Jesus rises to a restored divinity and is beyond death. But in both cases, we have someone who is conventionally dead, arising and exiting through the door that is always perceived as one way. The dead go in, but they don't come out. At least not until Lazarus did, at the behest of Jesus. This last sign that Jesus performs in John's gospel before the actual resurrection, I think is instructive for us because it's a type of what it means to pass through a door. Our passing through doors as living and breathing followers of Jesus is the way we move from watching to doing, from looking to participating. It is the way we move from learning to teaching, from reading to acting. On one side of the door, we are in a sense encased, maybe not as thoroughly as Lazarus was, but we are still within. And if there's one thing that Jesus is telling us to do, it's move without. Go into the world. He's even told us what to do in the world. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, tend the sick, visit the prisoner. For in doing so to the least of these, you do it to me, Jesus says. Jesus can draw a dead man out of a tomb and back into the world of the living simply by commanding him to come out. He passes through a door back outside where people live and struggle and hope. I think it's important to note that when Lazarus returns to life, he returns to this life. He's not resurrected as Jesus would be. He is alive as a human being is alive, and can and will die as a human being dies. But he has a new opportunity to live his life as Jesus would have him live it. And in a real and tangible way, he owes his life to Jesus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus already knew who Jesus was and what he was about. They counted themselves blessed to know him. And now they have this gift of a second chance that's been given them. On our Lenten journey, we have looked at our faith using the metaphors of windows, mirrors, and doors. We have thought about the difference between looking out from within, looking within, and now going through the doors and out into the world. By virtue of our baptism, we are people of God. And Jesus made one thing perfectly clear. People of God have work, have ministry, and have a reason for being that is to be found outside doors. Not inside, not within, but out. The world at large is in need of us all. We come here inside this sanctuary to be energized for that work each week. But when this service is over, our service begins. Whether in Beverly, in the nation at large, or in the world, may we walk through our doors confident that we are called to do God's work in this world. Amen.
As Manny said, in so many ways, our times of worship are themselves doors. doors that invite us to step out, to bring forward things that lead to life, to move from being inward to doing outward, to go out into the world and live life as Jesus would have us do it, because the people of God have work to do in this world. Our morning offering is a time in our service that invites us to consider the same, as it itself serves as a sort of doorway beyond these walls and out into the world. When we take our morning offering, you are invited to put in the plate the Here We Gather cards, letting us know about the gift of your presence, presence that is vital to God's world. You are invited to offer your prayers on the prayer cards, prayers that can be lifted for those that you know, for yourself, or for this community and world. And we are invited to put in our financial gifts, that together those gifts might be woven into something bigger than the sum, bigger than the parts, into a sum that is greater. So as our ushers come forward this morning to take our morning offering, let us do so with joyful hearts as we give faithfully and fully of ourselves in and to and for God's world.
So Reverend Manny is about to offer a benediction, which is a blessing for all of us to receive. But there is one person standing up here who is due to receive a blessing from all of us. And so I've asked Esther to help us to offer that blessing to Julie.
Happy birthday I've ever had. Thank you, Esther. The little flourish at the end was so nice. I just said to Daniel and Manny that when Daniel started talking, I was like, what's happening? It's Manny's turn to talk. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
And well done, all of you. As you know, the next thing that you are required to do on celebrating a birthday is to eat some cake, which will be available in the gym immediately following the worship service. So please join us for a birthday celebration for Julie.
Thank you.
Of course. Nicely done. Nicely done, everyone. As we walk out through those doors and into the world, carrying with us the message that we've heard today, let us ask God's blessing. May God's Spirit be upon us, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen.